Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, the network for social justice. Pressure is mounting for Supervisor Nathan Fletcher to resign immediately amid sexual misconduct allegations, and we'll have details on today's show. Lemon Grove's mayor is alleging that a representative of a cannabis dispensary applicant tried to bribe her, but the applicant contends he's been the target of retaliation for lawsuits he's filed against the city. In honor of Holocaust Remembrance Day, our newsmaker interview today is with Bob Gann. He'll be talking about his parents' ordeals as Holocaust survivors and read some dramatic excerpts of his educational program titled The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers, The Story of Greta and Rudy, his parents. Then on Destination East County, hear about an array of events springing up across our region, from Earth Day celebrations to parades, a rodeo, concerts, a wine festival, a benefit at an exotic animal rescue facility, a butterfly jungle, and many more. SDG&E is offering scholarships to women and minority high school and college undergraduate students going into STEM fields, and we'll have details on how you can apply. Helix Water District wants to raise your rates, and there's a hearing coming up where you can speak out. Rainy and snowy weather have delayed roadway improvements on Interstate 8 between Alpine and Pine Valley. A man who murdered twin girls in Lemon Grove has been sentenced to life in prison without parole, and the county has expanded who is eligible to apply for agricultural passes to care for crops or livestock in evacuation areas during emergencies. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
During a special meeting on April 11th, San Diego County supervisors passed a vote of no confidence and approved a letter calling on disgraced supervisor Nathan Fletcher to resign immediately. The vote was 4-0, with Fletcher absent while undergoing treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome and alcohol abuse. On March 29th, Fletcher announced his resignation effective May 15th, when his medical leave would end. The announcement came immediately after an MTS employee went public with allegations that Fletcher sexually assaulted and harassed her when he was MTS chair. Fletcher, who was married with children, has denied those allegations, but said he had a consensual relationship. The woman, Grecia Figueroa, has denied this and filed a lawsuit against Fletcher and MTS. Fletcher has resigned as MTS chair and dropped his campaign for the state Senate. Nora Vargas, chair of the County Board of Supervisors, said before the vote, "My priority is ensuring that we are able to serve the people of San Diego." She noted that Fletcher had been absent for the past 2 weeks and didn't answer troubling allegations against him. Vargas concluded, "We encourage him to resign immediately so he can focus solely on his treatment and the people of San Diego can move forward with the representation they deserve." The board does not have the power to remove the elected supervisor from office, but supervisors hope the action will put pressure on Fletcher to resign immediately. The letter approved by the board states in part, "By his own statements, Supervisor Fletcher has demonstrated he has not upheld the principles of integrity expected in his position as a member of the County Board of Supervisors. As a county, we pride ourselves in having a code of ethics and robust workplace standards of conduct, which should be honored and respected by all, regardless of position." At the board's next meeting on May 2nd, supervisors are expected to discuss options for replacing Fletcher. The seat could be filled by appointment or by special election. While the seat remains vacant, the board is split politically with 2 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Reporting for East County Magazine, on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. This is John Tidwell.
At a hearing by the Lemon Grove City Council on April 4th on extending a conditional use permit for a marijuana dispensary applicant, Mayor Raquel Vasquez dropped a bombshell. She announced that she had been offered a trip to Las Vegas by an undisclosed person to discuss the project, an action that the city attorney called an alleged bribe. The hearing also included allegations that the city's opposition to extending the conditional use permit was retaliation against the applicant, Chris Williams of Pickaxe Holdings, who said the city had approved similar extensions for other applicants. Williams has a contentious record with the city, including filing multiple lawsuits. The conditional use permit expires April 19th, and Williams sought a one-year extension, in part due to a structural engineer suffering complications from COVID-19, as well as delays that he said were caused by staff members on leave, according to emails shared during the council meeting. In a staff report, Interim Community Development Manager Bill Chopik recommended that staff deny the extension because the applicant had not demonstrated progress toward satisfying the conditions required. However, Chopik confirmed that the applicant did turn in his building permit as well as the landscape and irrigation permit applications earlier the same day. At the start of the hearing, Mayor Vasquez went on the record to say she had been contacted by a business person whom she claimed was acting on behalf of Williams and his investor, although she declined to name the person.
I was contacted by someone who is now in the business community on behalf of Chris Williams and his investor. And there was a conversation specifically to discuss, the individual wanted to discuss how this project could get over the line and what they needed to do to make it happen. So far enough to put an invitation out there to fly to Vegas to meet, to see what we could do to get this project over the line, and I immediately said no. And then I mentioned that I have a moral compass and I have a value system, and I'm not doing this for that.
The mayor said the business person contacted her again and that she directed the individual to staff. East County Magazine has requested public records to try and learn the identity of the person alleged to have attempted a bribe, but the city has not yet responded. City Attorney Kristen Steinke thanked the mayor for speaking out, and she described the contact as an alleged bribe.
It looks like there was an alleged bribe to the mayor. I would encourage any of you who receive a bribe, that's not uncommon, to disclose it immediately and report it to me so that we can take appropriate legal measures.
Williams staunchly denied any knowledge of a bribe attempt and urged that the mayor identify the individual alleged to have offered a bribe so that that person could be held accountable.
I think the biggest elephant in the room, first off, I would like to address what seems like improprieties thrown in my direction. The word alleged bribe thrown in my direction, I take high offense to that. Also notice that the mayor did not say any names of any individuals, and I encourage the mayor to clear the record right now, tonight, with names, because I absolutely had nothing to do with any conversations, any invitations, any deals, because I don't believe I need any. I've never asked for none, and I will never ask for none. So again, if something was said that you believe was wrong by people who are within your circle, please say their names. Please let's clear this record. I think the public and myself deserve that based off the accusations that were made and the clear language by the city attorney that there was an alleged bribe.
Williams recently lost a civil lawsuit that he filed against former Councilman David Arambula and the city of Lemon Grove, alleging assault at Arambula's home in 2018. Williams claimed that he and Arambula discussed a dispensary application that Williams had pending for his original medical marijuana dispensary application. However, Arambula denied this and insisted the evening was a social gathering. The mayor was present during the early part of that evening, but left before a physical altercation between the two men occurred, in which Williams was injured. Williams claimed Arambula assaulted him, but the jury found that Arambula acted in self-defense. The mayor has never recused herself from discussions or voting on any of Williams' cannabis dispensary applications, despite being a witness and testifying on the stand in the case.
In a separate legal complaint filed against the city before the current incident, Williams has claimed a pattern of retaliation against his dispensary applications. Arguing against the extension was attorney Gina Austin. She was representing two clients who have an application to build another dispensary next door to the site on Broadway where Williams sought to build his, but city law would prohibit two dispensaries so close together. Austin told the council that since Pickaxe had not begun construction, the conditional use permit extension should be denied. Councilmember Mendoza agreed, stating, "It's not fair to the other applicant. They have been patiently waiting a year." But Councilmember Liana LeBaron said she believed Williams did make substantial progress on his application and that past applicants have been granted extensions with less work completed. She suggested that the council was retaliating against Williams.
"I believe that the applicant has shown that they've done progress towards satisfying things in their CEP. I believe that the applicant has shown, in comparison, that other medical marijuana CEP applicants have done even less work than what they have. All that said, my takeaways from all this are the following. All I see is an attempt to target a business owner who has been openly critical of the quality of work city leadership has shown in running this city. And in an attempt to bully, harass, stonewall, and intimidate the applicant, city leadership continues to abuse the taxpayers by wasting their time and money by holding this ill-timed public hearing, so city leadership can try to set a narrative that only benefits elected council members' personal agendas."
Pro Tem Mayor George Gastel suggested a compromise to extend the conditional use permit by a shorter period of time, but no other council members supported that option. LeBaron questioned why the city was eager to back another applicant when Williams had applied first. She concluded, "It's retaliation, it's personal dislike of the applicant." The city council voted 4-1 against extending the applicant's conditional use permit, with LeBaron casting the lone dissenting vote. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. April 16th is Holocaust Remembrance Day. There's going to be an event hosted by the San Diego Jewish Federation and survivors of the Holocaust. And today I'm very honored to have with us the son of Holocaust survivors, Bob Ganz. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So you have created a really moving educational project that we're going to be talking about today. It's called The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers, the story of Greta and Ruby. Tell us who Greta and Ruby were and how you found out their story.
Well, I'm the son of Greta and Rudy, and I would like to make an offer to anyone who is listening that I would be thrilled to be able to do for your church, for your organization, for your Rotary Club, for your school, what I have done on numerous prior occasions, and that is present a 55-minute slideshow where I speak about the slides, which describes what happened to my parents, where they grew up, how they grew up, what happened to them when the Nazis rolled into Austria, and through the life-saving kindness and courage of strangers, how they survived, and why I am existing today and have myself children and grandchildren. I want to tell this story wherever and whenever I can, free of charge, and I'll bring the equipment, I'll do everything. I would do it for three reasons. In part, so that people learn about what happened, but it's more important because of the lessons that can be learned from what happened some years ago, which are very relevant today.
Absolutely. You have mentioned that when you've done this presentation to young people, many of them are really not familiar with the Holocaust.
Yeah, recent surveys have shown that the younger generation, and by that I'm talking anywhere from teenagers to 40, 50-year-olds, there's tremendous amount of ignorance out there. And okay, I understand it happened a long time ago, but there are lessons to be learned that are very pertinent in today's world, and that's why I want to go around and talk about through this slideshow presentation, which people have said it's so dramatic that it can and should be made into a movie.
I agree. And we're going to be putting the whole thing up on our news site at eastcountymagazine.org, so you'll be able to watch the entire slideshow there. But Bob, can you tell us a little bit about your family's history? They were Jewish when the Nazis came to power, and what happened to them?
Well, I guess one thing that people don't realize, and I was back in Linz, Austria, their hometown, just this past September, and it was very, very apparent then. The Jews were not in one little section of Linz. They were integrated into the community. They were part of the business community, the school community, the volunteer organizations. My great-grandfather was a physician to the Royal Court of Austria.
Wow.
Nonetheless, when the Nazis rolled in, all the Jews were immediately rounded up, thrown into jail, ultimately into concentration camps. Why? Because they were Jewish.
Yeah.
Others were thrown into concentration camps as well, and it was awful, horrific place. It's unimaginable what happened to them.
We're going to play a little excerpt here from the show for you, the presentation he does, the slideshow, talking about Kristallnacht, a night of terror targeting Jewish people.
During which most Jews in Austria had their possessions and their money taken away, that is, stolen by the Nazis, were kicked out of their homes, which were then taken over by the Nazis, were prevented from operating or even entering into their businesses, which they had established and run successfully for decades, and were subject to search at any time, arrest at any time, beatings at any time, tortures at any time, and imprisonment at any time. Suicides were not uncommon. And Uncle Vic, he had some good friends who just couldn't take anymore. In October 1938, all Jews had to get the J stamp, J for Jewish, of course. Here you see my dad's original, original passport. As I hold this, I get chills. It's chilling to this day to see the Nazi stamps and insignias. And then came November 1938. On November 8, my dad and his two brothers, Uncle Vic and Uncle Gus, were all arrested again, thrown into Linz jail cells number 30, 31, and 32. November 9, 1938, the night of the broken glass, Kristallnacht. That night, Jewish homes, hospitals, and schools throughout Germany and Austria were ransacked and demolished in a frenzy orchestrated by the Nazis. 7,000 Jewish businesses were destroyed or seriously damaged. Beatings, killings, rapes were widespread. 30,000 Jewish men were immediately arrested, thrown into jail, or taken right away to concentration camps. November 9 and 10, we call that synagogue in Linz. It was ransacked, burned, and destroyed, as were hundreds of additional synagogues throughout Germany and Austria. Uncle Vic writes in his memoir about the people who were inside the synagogue at the time. I won't go into it now, but you can imagine, or maybe you can. It's hard to imagine. Recall this, Uncle Gus. That was the last wedding ever held in that temple. On November 10, my mother's father was likewise arrested, thrown into the same jail where the three brothers were. This is a letter, I'm going to show you in a moment, a letter, a detailed letter that my grandfather wrote to his son, who is now in Palestine, to Hansel. He wrote it in March 10 of 1939. I'll explain how that happened in a little while. Whoops, what happened there? There we go. Detailed German letter. This is in part what it says about the jail. First, they took us to the police station and then to SS hell. There, they tortured us for 3 days. Some were beaten to the point where they were unrecognizable. 53 of us were then thrown into a small cell meant for 16, and we were only allowed to sleep every other night. November 12, German decree, all Jewish businesses were to be permanently closed. November 15, 1938. November 15, 1938. Wintertime becoming serious in Austria. 3 a.m. in the morning. The jail cells slam open. The Gans brothers and others were marched outside in their street clothes, marched to a flatbed truck, ordered to get on the truck, and in Uncle Vic's words, packed like standing sardines, freezing. It was sleeting, rain and snow. They feared, and after many hours of transport, they ultimately knew that their worst fears were coming true. They were soon to enter Dachau.
So what happened after that, again, is people were thrown into concentration camps. My father and his two brothers were thrown into concentration camp. My mom was put on a train at the age of 18, leaving her parents behind. She waved goodbye, sadly, to her mom at the train station. Her father was already thrown in jail. She was put on a train, went off to England to try to survive there, and she did as a maid. My dad, through the courage and kindness of strangers, through miracles, got out, ended up getting on a ship going from Genoa, Italy to Shanghai, and was living in Shanghai for about close to a year waiting for permission to get into the United States.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But first, I know it's disturbing, but I think the young people need to know this. What can you tell us about the conditions inside Dachau when he was there?
Think of the worst torture that you can imagine. Better yet, don't. Just fleetingly think of it. I was at Mauthausen concentration camp last September, which is just outside of Linz. My dad was in Dachau. I had 2.5 hours to tour it. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I didn't have any more than 2.5 hours. The contraptions that the Nazis made for torture, it's indescribable. It is indescribable. Yeah. And it was...
And these are people who did nothing wrong. They weren't accused of any crimes. It was just because of their religion. But they weren't the first or the only. And I think this is one of the lessons to be learned, that if one group starts getting targeted and no one speaks out, you might be next. Tell us some of the other groups that were there.
No question about it. Gypsies, the Nazis didn't like gypsies. Homosexuals, the Nazis didn't like homosexuals. Political opponents of the Nazis, they were thrown into Dachau. Anybody who didn't follow the Nazi line, the Nazi propaganda, if they had any breath of opposition, they were thrown into Dachau concentration camp. And, you know, one of the lessons I try to teach through my slideshow is if you see something that's wrong, say something. If you see bullying, speak up. If somebody needs help, give them a hand. Because as some very famous people have written, and I can't paraphrase it properly, but basically, if you don't do something, they'll come next. They could come next for you.
Absolutely. Now, Dachau later became an extermination camp, as were other concentration camps. My own great-grandparents died in one of those concentration camps. Your father was more fortunate. He was one of the very few, actually it's the first story I've heard of someone who actually was able to get out of the concentration camp, you know, before the war ended. Tell us that remarkable story about how he was able to leave and find his freedom.
Well, in the late 1930s, the concentration camps, certainly Dachau, it was an awful place, and they starved you, and they worked you to death, and they tortured people, and many committed suicide, but it was not yet an extermination camp. They had not yet set up the gas chambers. They had not yet just willy-nilly killed everybody. If you could get out, they would let you get out as long as you got out of the country within 24 hours. But when you're a prisoner in Dachau, how do you get out? How do you get the train tickets? How do you get permission from other countries? How do you get the money? How do you get the ability to go from one place to another, all within 24 hours? The reason my parents were able to do it, it's my father in this case, and his two brothers, was because they had sisters who had not yet been rounded up. They went to the various embassies. A miracle sort of happened, I guess, sad for a family that decided to not go on the particular ship leaving from Genoa, going to Shanghai. They decided not to. Three tickets became available. And my dad and his two brothers, it's a long story, but through a series of amazing circumstances, people who helped them at risking their own lives, they were let free as long as they got on a train within 24 hours. A very dramatic part, people have said, make this into a movie. A very dramatic part was that they had to get from Dachau to the Linz, to the Vienna train station within a certain amount of time. They got there just 15 minutes before the train left. If they didn't get on the train, they would have been rearrested, thrown into Dachau. End of story, and I wouldn't be here.
Wow. And then from Shanghai, they eventually made it to New York?
They made it first to California. My dad made it to New York. Meanwhile, my mom had gone from Cambridge, London, where she was a maid, into, for certain reasons, into London, lived through months of the Blitzkrieg. For those who are familiar with it, you know this, but Nazi bombs rained down on London for months, day and night. Amazingly, she was, and many Londoners were, able to live with it, live through that, although many were killed, of course. Mm-hmm. She had to wait a long time to get permission to come into the United States. Mm-hmm. My mom and my dad, they were boyfriend and girlfriend in Linz, Austria, separated for 7 years, reunited in New York City, 3 days later got married, and not too long after, mm-hmm. my sister was born. Her name is Irene. Irene means peace.
Wow. What a wonderful story. Now, your dad was helped out by someone in the Bulova Watch Factory. You got a letter there. I think you're going to share a little excerpt.
Yes. My dad came to America penniless. He had nothing. He barely spoke the language. But he was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bulova, chairman and CEO of Bulova Watch Company.
Amazing.
And Mr. Bulova granted him an interview in his Rockefeller Center office and gave my dad a job. It was a factory job, but it was a job, and my dad was able to support himself, his wife. He was able to bring his parents over, who were sickly, and so they were able to survive. If I may I read one section of this letter?
Yeah, please read. This is an excerpt of the letter that your father wrote to Mr. Bulova, thanking him for giving him this job and this opportunity.
My dad wrote this letter when I was 5.5 years old, 15 years to the day of the interview that Mr. Bulova granted him, and I never can get, never, I've read this letter out loud dozens of times, and I can't get through it without becoming emotional, so forgive me if I do. I'll try not to. At the end of the letter, it's a one-page letter, he writes to Mr. Bulova, God bless you, sir. Anytime a question arises about our beloved America, what it stands for, and how her people are inspired by our democratic way of thinking, I think of you, Mr. Bulova. It was real Americanism in practice, not theory, when you, in your high and demanding position, took time to listen to me and give me help. As a father, I try to bring up my children to become good American citizens, holding you, Mr. Bulova, as a shining example of a real American. Sorry. With my heartfelt thanks, and also in the name of my family, respectfully yours, Rudolph Gans.
That's so heartwarming to hear. And you yourself have taken that message to heart, and you're giving back now as, you know, working with the group Welcome Home. We did an earlier interview that aired on the radio about that, but it's an organization helping refugees, you know, just like your parents once were, the newcomers to America right here in San Diego.
There are so many new Americans now in San Diego. Welcome Home tries to help those who arrive here, residents who are now legally residing in San Diego. Many of them were Afghanistanians who helped Americans during the Afghan War. Many of them are American, and we try to give them funds so that they can get a job and tools for the job and bus passes so that they can go to school or to their place of employment. And I feel passionate about that because I know that type of assistance has generational impact and does tremendous good for the community as a whole.
Listeners, if you just tuned in, we are speaking today with Bob Gans, who, as you heard, helps refugees through the Welcome Home program. But today we're speaking about the educational program that he's created to help people learn more about the Holocaust. It's called The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers, the story of Greta and Rudy, that's his parents, who escaped the Holocaust to come to America. And he's willing to make this available to any organization, schools, churches, any other group that would like to hear it. And it's a powerful message that I think we all need to hear so that this will never happen again to any people anywhere. I'm going to give you the last word here, and then we're going to end the show with an excerpt out of your presentation, your closing words. But Bob, what else would you like people to know that we haven't mentioned?
I would like you to know why I want to do this wherever I can. I have three purposes in delivering this story. One, to inspire those who view this presentation to act when they see wrong and to help those who need assistance. Second, to help teach and thereby help folks remember what happened 80 years ago so that it never happens again to any minority group. And third, to help honor those who suffered through the Holocaust and its consequences. If you would allow me to come and personalize this, I'd do a message before the slideshow, making it relevant to current events. I give some lessons after it. The whole thing takes roughly an hour. If you can give me an hour of time up to your organization, feel free to contact me. You can contact me through, I'll give you my email address, BobGans7@gmail.com.
Yeah, and Gans is G-A-N-S, so it's BobGans7@gmail.com. And, you know, it's the next generation now carrying this on. Most of the Holocaust survivors are gone now. I understand your mother just recently passed away at
the age of 102 and a half. She lived in New York for quite a while, came here at the age of 91, was very vibrant for many years. And a year ago in December, she sadly, but lived an amazing life. She may be, by the way, the only person in the world who was present not only for the amazing spontaneous VE Day, Victory in Europe celebration that happened at Trafalgar Square, but also by chance was in New York City when the war ended in Japan for VJ Day for the amazing celebration that happened at Times Square.
Yeah.
She was at both.
A newlywed there. Yeah, what a wonderful love story, a wonderful success story, and really triumphing of love, triumphing over hate, Bob. And we are going to end our show. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice. And now we're going to end by playing the concluding words of this very powerful presentation of yours, The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers.
Your heart, your conscience, tells you what's right and what's wrong. Follow your inner voice. Be active. Be engaged. Stand up to bullies. Help those less fortunate than you. Reach out. Volunteer. Recognize and appreciate all the blessings that you have every day. I do. I really do. War not at your doorstep. A roof over your head. Freedom from tyranny. Supermarkets jammed with food from all over the world. and perhaps most important of all, the opportunity to help your fellow man and woman. Recognize and appreciate all the blessings we have every day, and do your bit to help make the world a better place for everyone.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery.
And this is Jonathan Getz.
With Destination East County.
There's a wide assortment of events coming up across San Diego's East County, including Cajon Classic Cruises, a butterfly jungle, a golf tournament to benefit disabled veterans, Earth Day celebrations, music festivals and concerts, a Lego building event, a wine and food festival, Campo Days, Wild in the Country at Lions, Tigers and Bears in Alpine, a Western Days parade, a rodeo, and Descanso Day.
Cajon Classic Cruises continue each Wednesday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. all summer long along Main Street in downtown El Cajon. And you can get a full schedule of the events at downtownelcajon.com.
The San Diego Zoo Safari Park in Escondido invites you to a spring safari featuring a butterfly jungle. Visitors can wander through the hidden jungle aviary among hundreds of colorful, fluttering butterflies, have a chance to feed them, and learn how they contribute to our ecosystem, as well as help save wildlife in our own backyard. Spring Safari featuring Butterfly Jungle will shine a spotlight on the individual local wildlife in the Southwest region, including San Diego, a biodiversity hotspot. Guests are also encouraged to visit the Safari Park's native Nectar Garden and Baja Gardens. Guests can also enjoy live music, dancing, juggling, and strawberry-themed treats. The Spring Safari featuring Butterfly Jungle continues through May 14th with check-in from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. daily. Find more information at sdzsafaripark.org/spring-safari.
Shelter to Soldier is a nonprofit that adopts dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations and trains them to become psychiatric service dogs for post-9/11 veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and/or military sexual trauma. The nonprofit group will hold its fourth annual Saving Lives One Swing at a Time golf tournament and dinner on Friday, April 21st on the Championship Oak Glen Course at Singing Hills Golf Resort at Sequan. To register or get details, you can visit sheltertosoldier.org.
The City of La Mesa invites you to the La Mesa Earth Day Festival on Saturday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at MacArthur Park. The event will include arts and crafts, eco-friendly vendors, a bicycle rodeo and bike activities, a fix-it clinic, food truck, kids zone with bounce house, tile painting for Collier Park, giveaways, and more. For more information or to become a vendor, contact friends at lamesaparks.org.
For its annual Earth Day celebration, the Desert View Tower and Boulder Park will host a Boulder Fair on Saturday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The festivities include live music by Sage, Victor Bosque, and Sunrise Highway, as well as arts and crafts, gifts, jewelry, displays of rocks and gemstones, healing herbs and medicinal plants, gardening tips, and a plant sale, organic produce, cocoa and superfoods, tie-dye products, a desert plant walk, and a kids' zone. There will also be tamales and Mexican food to purchase, as well as a gourmet coffee truck. Desert View Tower and Boulder Park are located just off Interstate 8 on Inkapa Road in Hakumba Hot Springs. You can learn more at the Desert View Tower page on Facebook.
The Ramona Senior Center will host a car show on Saturday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Grace Community Church in Ramona. The event is presented by the Over the Hill Gang Car Club and Ramona American Graffiti Cruise. Visitors can see muscle cars, classic and custom vehicles, motorcycles, hot rods, trucks, and off-road vehicles. No pre-registration is required to participate, though donations are welcome. The event will also include a silent auction, all-pro live sounds and DJ, raffle prizes, drinks, hot dogs, and trophies for winning participants.
El Cajon's Dinner in a Concert series opens May 5th and will continue every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. from May through September. Opening night will feature Twisted Gypsy, a Fleetwood Mac tribute band taking you back to the early days of 70s rock and roll. The concerts will be held at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon on Main Street between Magnolia and Valentine. Other concerts coming up in May include the Jim Allen Band on May 12th, the Patrick Howard Trumpet Band May 19th, and Fortunate Son on May 26th. For a full schedule of events all summer long, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
Grossmont Center in La Mesa is hosting a Lego Build event on April 29th from 12 noon to 4 p.m. You're invited to bring the kids and join the Elgage Museum Master Builders in front of the Grossmont Center Railroad model train display for a fun afternoon with Legos. No registration is required, so you can stop by anytime and enjoy viewing the trains as well as fun with Legos. For more information, visit grossmontcenter.com.
On May 6th, Cuyamaca College is combining several major events for a true springtime extravaganza. Coyote Music Festival will present a range of amazing artists in the Gardens Amphitheater all day, from rock and roll bands to singer-songwriters' melodic tunes. The Water Conservation Garden will host its own Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, also on May 6th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Guests can watch butterfly releases, and children can join Miss Sparty Plants and Miss Monarch at a pollinator party to hear stories and craft their own pollinator wings. The garden will also have specialty vendors, workshops, and food trucks. In addition, Cuyamaca College's Ornamental Horticulture Department will hold its largest plant sale of the year in their brand new nursery. Plus, the Heritage of the Americas Museum will be hosting tours throughout the day. Find more details at thegarden.org.
You're invited to experience the history and heritage of San Diego's East County during Campo Days on May 6th and 7th. Guests can experience historic train rides, vintage vehicles, equestrian events, military history, food, music, and more at four locations in Campo: the Gaskill Brothers Stone Store Museum, Camp Lockett Event and Equestrian Facility, Pacific Southwest Railway Museum, and the Motor Transport Museum. You can find more information at visitcampo.com.
You're invited to savor tastes from 25 wineries, 3 breweries, and 20 local restaurants at Vintage Alpine on May 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Summers Past Farms in Flint Springs. Vintage Alpine began in 1990 and is now one of the biggest events of its kind in San Diego County. More than 500 people from all over the Southwest attend the event, which also features relaxing live music in a beautiful garden setting, as well as a silent auction and opportunities to meet wine and food experts. All proceeds from Vintage Alpine are used by the Kiwanis Club of Alpine to provide services and programs supporting the children of San Diego. For tickets and reservations, you can visit vintagealpine.org.
The City of Santee will host its Friday Nights Live Entertainment Series at the Santee Trolley Square, kicking off summer with family fun and entertainment. The events will be held each Friday from May 19th through June 9th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The lineup includes It's Never Too Late, Expressions Dance and Movement, Bill McGee Blues, and Stomp Music School. Learn more at SanteeSpecialEvents.com.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears, a nonprofit exotic animal sanctuary in Alpine, invites you to their annual fundraising bash, Wild in the Country, on May 20th. This year's event features MCs Jagger and Christie from Magic 92.5 Radio, as well as Broadway stars Sandra Joseph and Ron Bomer, the lead actors in Phantom of the Opera and Les Miserables. Dinner will be prepared by world-renowned chef Jeffrey Strauss, known as the Chef to the Stars, for pleasing the palates of dignitaries, presidents, royalty, and entertainment icons. The main event will be held from 2 to 6 p.m. on May 20th. There is also a pre-event reception for platinum and gold-level ticket holders at 1 p.m. For tickets, you can visit lionstigersandbears.org.
The theme of this year's Western Days Parade in Lakeside will be Fighting for Justice. District Attorney Summer Steffen will serve as Grand Marshal of the parade on Saturday, April 29th. The 59th annual parade, sponsored by the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce, begins at 9:35 a.m. and will proceed along Main Avenue in downtown Lakeside. The next day, May 30th, the annual Lakeside Rodeo will be held, featuring traditional Western competitions such as bull riding and barrel races. For more on the rodeo, visit lakesiderodeo.com.
Descanso's first community fair was held back in 1899 under a tent near the creek. The tradition has grown through the years to include a parade and a community fair, which this year will be held on June 3rd. The festivities take place at the historic Descanso Town Hall on Viejas Grade Road in Descanso, a small rural town east of Alpine. Arrive early, since roads close at 8 a.m. for the parade, which starts at 9. The parade is followed by the fair, which begins at 10 a.m. and runs until 4 p.m. You're invited to get your boots on at Descanso Day to learn more about the town's history and enjoy the fun, which includes music by Whiskey Ridge, food by Descanso Junction, and beer served up by Burning Beard Brewing Company. There will also be vendors, children's games, face painting, horseshoe tournaments, a cakewalk, raffle, and more.
That's all for this week.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is John Tidwell with an education report. Eligible high school and undergraduate students who reside in communities served by San Diego Gas and Electric Company are encouraged to apply for a $10,000 scholarship under a new initiative called the Inspiring Future Leaders STEM Scholarship Program. This initiative aims to support students of color, girls and women, in high school or college who plan on pursuing a degree in STEM-related courses of study. That's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Scholarship winners who maintain their eligibility and pursue their course of study in a traditional four-year university can have their scholarships renewed for an additional 3 years, meaning they could receive a total of $40,000 in financial aid. The deadline to apply for this scholarship is April 27th at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. SDG&E CEO Carolyn Wynn says, "One of the best strategies to narrow the gender and racial gap in STEM fields is to increase access to higher educational opportunities and provide the financial support students need to pursue STEM degrees." Wynn is an electrical engineer and a longtime champion of SDG&E's Be That Girl initiative to inspire girls to pursue STEM careers through mentorships and outreach activities. She says our region's economic prosperity depends on employers developing the workforce of tomorrow in order to fill the growing number of jobs that require STEM knowledge, and that includes helping to alleviate financial barriers such as student loan debt. According to the U.S. Census Bureau and Pew Research, women only make up 27% of the STEM workforce, while people of color only make up 33%. The scholarship is administered by Scholarship America and funded by company shareholders, not SDG&E ratepayers. All applicants must have a permanent address in SDG&E's service territory, which covers San Diego County and South Orange County. Students eligible to apply for the scholarships include those identifying as women of any race, as well as all genders who are Black or African American, Indian or Alaskan Native, Hispanic or Latino, Asian, Native Hawaiian, or other Pacific Islander. The program is open to high school seniors, graduates, and current college undergraduates who plan to enroll in a full-time undergraduate STEM area of study at an accredited community college or university for the upcoming academic year.
Helix Water District will hold a hearing on proposed rate hikes and increased service charges. The hearing will be on Wednesday, April 26th at 5 p.m. in the Helix Water District's boardroom in La Mesa. It will also be accessible remotely on Zoom. The rate hikes would be phased in over 4 years. If approved, the first phase of the new rates would take effect May 1st and appear on water bills starting July 1st. Changes are proposed to both fixed rates based on meter size and variable charges that assess more to the highest water users. Charts show the proposed rate increases, and they're available on the district's website. For example, the smallest size meter would see fixed rates rise from just over $56 to nearly $68 every 2 months by the end of that 4-year rate increase, while a single-family residence would see the variable charge rise by just under a dollar. A study by an independent rate consultant found the increases are needed due to rising operations costs, inflation, capital projects such as replacing aging pipelines, and financial stability. Property owners can speak out at the hearing in person or on Zoom, or submit a written protest of the proposed rate increases. Emails don't count under state law, so any written protest must be mailed or delivered in person to the district and received before public comments at that April 26th hearing. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with a roadway repair update from Caltrans. Winter storms have caused delays to the Interstate 8 pavement replacement and road improvement projects in San Diego's East County, from Viejas Creek in Alpine to Pine Valley. The project is currently 36% completed. This project is replacing the existing concrete, which has exceeded its life expectancy, with continuously reinforced concrete pavement that can withstand heavy loads and more severe environmental conditions, with a lifespan of up to 70 years. But heavy rain, snow, and ice meant that no work could occur during the wet weather, and chilly temperatures were too low for materials to set. The construction has impacted bicycle lane access, so there is a bicycle shuttle service that you can call daily from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 619-971-1295. And you can find that info on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. Work will begin at Viejas Creek Bridge in late April and early May on weekdays. The public is asked to obey speed limits in the construction zone and watch for construction workers.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Jonathan Getz with a Crime Beat report. Dwayne Groves has pleaded guilty to murdering his ex-girlfriend's twin daughters in Lemon Grove. He has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. The victims were 15-year-old Kyra and Lee Christopher, both students at Helix Charter High School when they were killed in their home back in April 2020. On the day of the fateful shootings, Groves arrived at his ex-girlfriend's home and used a semi-automatic handgun to shoot his way into the residence. Once inside, he shot and killed his girlfriend's two oldest daughters, the twins. He then beat her 22-year-old son, Gary, with the gun, causing multiple lacerations to his head and breaking his arm. Groves' ex-girlfriend, Joanne Hoyt, was able to escape the residence with her younger daughters. Before running out of the house, Hoyt overheard Groves say, "You always wanted a story to write, and now you have a book," according to testimony at Groves' preliminary hearing. Groves fled the scene, but was apprehended later that day. The gun was found at the scene by officers. District Attorney Summer Steffen says any time that a human being is murdered, there is a sense of deep loss and pain. However, when the lives of innocent children are stolen, we are left with a gaping wound. This was an unspeakable crime that took the lives of two innocent twin girls who were just beginning their lives. Nothing can make up for the devastation the defendant caused to the family of the victims, but I hope this sentence provides a measure of justice and healing.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they seem hairy?
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Agricultural Report. Disasters and wildfires threaten lives and businesses in San Diego County every year. Often, people are forced to gather up their most important possessions and evacuate to safety. But commercial livestock operations may be too large to evacuate all of their animals immediately, and they need to return as quickly as possible to care for the animals. In the past, many such animals have perished. Farmers also must abandon their operation, leaving crops and critical infrastructure unattended for extended periods. Now, operators can apply for an agricultural and livestock pass program to return to an evacuated area to help when the threat diminishes. When a mandatory evacuation order is given, everybody, including ag pass holders, must evacuate at first. But when fire and law enforcement leaders allow it, ag pass holders will be able to return to the area to move, feed, and provide veterinary care for livestock, or to work on irrigation systems, farm equipment, and other essential infrastructure. Ag pass is limited to daylight hours, and it doesn't guarantee entry to an evacuated area. Fire and law enforcement officials make the decision for entry based on fire behavior and public safety. To be part of the program, commercial farmers or ranchers and managerial employees must attend a 4-hour fire safety training and take annual refresher training. So far, 76 AgPass ID cards have been issued to individuals at 28 companies in the unincorporated areas of our county. The pilot program started last year, and it was limited at first to cattle and horse operations, but now supervisors have approved the immediate rollout of full implementation of the AgPass program, offering access to more than 4,000 commercial agricultural and livestock operators in San Diego's unincorporated areas.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine Radio Show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor at eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.